Today is my 30th the year 2002. The Dhamma talk that will be delivered at this meditation retreat will be the advice given by the Venerable Maha Kisayana. The advice consists of 4 points. Those people who are practicing Vipassana meditation will have the desire to become a stream winner in this very life. In order to close the gateway to the four lower woeful states forever. Only if one has that kind of desire or intention, one may be worthy of obtaining this human existence. If one wants to become a stream winner, and if one practices Vipassana meditation to become a stream winner, at least one shall follow the advice given by the Venerable Maha Kisayana. And if one follows his advice in accordance with one's own perfection or parami, one may be able to realize the Dhamma very quickly. For those who had not yet experienced the Dhamma will quickly experience the Dhamma. For those who had experienced the Dhamma will have the progress of insight, and for those deserving, they will realize the noble Dhamma. So while one is practicing Vipassana meditation, one must follow his 4-point advice, which says that, number one, even though one may have a very keen eyesight, one must behave as if one is blind or one cannot see. Number two, even though one has a good sense of hearing, one must behave as if one cannot hear, or one is dumb, or one is mute. Number three, even though one can speak very eloquently, one shall act as if one cannot speak very well, or as if one is dumb or one is mute. Number four, even though one may be very strong and healthy, one shall act as if one is not strong, that is, one is weak and one is an invalid. If this advice is followed, then in practicing Vipassana, those who have not yet experienced the Dhamma will experience the Dhamma, and those who have experienced the Dhamma will have the progress of insight, and for those deserving, one can realize the noble Dhamma that one had been aspiring for. Now, I will elaborate a little bit. While practicing Vipassana meditation, one may have a very good eye sensitivity or a keen eyesight. Even though one has these things, one shall act or behave as if one cannot see or as if one is blind. Why? Because if you look around while you are meditating Vipassana meditation, if you look around as if you look around with your naked eye, as if while you are staying or residing in cities, towns, villages, and at home, then the concentration will start to deteriorate, beginning from the eye. If you cannot build up concentration, the Vipassana knowledge will not arise. With no Vipassana knowledge, one cannot realize the knowledge of the path and the knowledge of the fruition of the Noble Dhamma. Now, if I say that one shall act as a blind or as if one shall a blind person or as if one cannot see, you may ask whether the eyes should be kept closed. No, not in that way. Only I meant to say that the seeing shall be mere seeing. So if you let the eye downcast, and if you keep your seeing at mere seeing and not going beyond that point, the concentration will be established and your noting will become very powerful. Those who have not yet experienced the Dhamma then will experience the Dhamma, and if deserving, one can realize the Noble Dhamma as well. If you look at an object as an ordinary person used to do, then you will be seeing everything. Like if you see a person, you will know whether that person is a man or a woman, tall or short, and so on. But mere seeing means when you see a person, you don't go beyond the point of mere seeing. That means you don't even know if that person is a male or a female, if that person is tall or short, and so on. To see an object very clearly, four conditions must be satisfied. These four conditions are: you must have the eye sensitivity, number one, that is. Number two, the visible object must be present. Number three, light must be present. And number four, you must pay attention. Now, the yogi, while meditating Vipassana meditation, has a good eye sensitivity, and there is a visual object. The light is present. That is, the first three factors are fulfilled. But yogi is not paying attention to that object. If the yogi is not paying attention to that object, what is the yogi paying attention to? For example, if the yogi is doing the walking meditation, and if the noting is going well, say the yogi is noting the lifting, the pushing forward, and dropping of the foot, the yogi will experience that while lifting, the foot goes up gradually, stage by stage, with increasing lightness. While pushing forward, the yogi will experience that the foot goes forward gradually, stage by stage, with increasing lightness. And also, when the yogi drops the foot down. The yogi will notice that it goes down gradually, stage by stage, with increasing heaviness. If a person passed by close to the yogi, and if you ask that yogi, "Yogi, who is that person?" The yogi will say, "No, I don't know who that person is. I only know that a person passed me by just now." Why does the yogi does not know? Why is it that the yogi does not know that person very clearly? The reason is, although there are four factors and the yogi has three factors already, he is not fulfilling the fourth one. That is, he is not paying attention. He is paying attention only to his walking meditation, that is particularly to lifting, pushing forward and dropping of his foot. It shows that his seeing is just standing at mere seeing. There is an instance of one becoming an arahant just by making his seeing stand at mere seeing. At one time, there was a venerable elder who was 80 years old and has a seniority as a monk of 60 years. He was living in a cave called Kurandaka, and his name is known as Siddhagotra. And on the walls of his cave, there are very pleasant-looking murals, that is, paintings on the wall. It depicts the renunciation of seven Buddhas, including the Buddha Vipassi. And at the entrance of his cave, there is an Indian ironwood tree. He never looked up the tree, but he knew that that tree was an Indian ironwood tree, because when the flowers dropped down, he knew that these were the flowers of the Indian ironwood tree. This venerable is always practicing with a downcast eye because he was guarding his eye faculty. When the king of that country knew about him, out of reverence, the king invited him to come to the palace. For three times, the invitation was declined because the elder thought that going to the palace or visiting the palace has nothing to do with the business of Buddha's dispensation. The king was very tactful. He had decided by all means to get the venerable elder to visit his palace. So one day, at Mahagama, a village not very far from the palace, the king summoned all the young mothers who were breastfeeding their babies. And then an order or proclamation was issued that the breasts of these young mothers be wrapped around with towels and be sealed with the sealing wax and stamps with the king's emblem. And they are not supposed to unwrap these towels. That means they are not supposed to give milk or feed milk to their respective babies until the Venerable visited this village, Mahagama. The Venerable heard about it, and he took pity on the babies, and he visited that village, Mahagama. When he arrived at Mahagama, the king invited him again to visit the palace. The Venerable thought, well, it will only be proper if I visit the palace when I am at a place very close to the palace. So he went to the palace. He took the alms food offered by the king and the queen. And after taking his food, he gave an Anu Modana talk. That is a kind of appreciative talk or a thanksgiving talk. After giving the talk, he went back to the Mahagama village where he was putting up temporarily. He was on his way back, accompanied by the king and his followers, by the queen and her followers, to an appropriate place in the courtyard of the palace. So when the Venerable was about to leave, the king and his followers came first to pay respect to the Venerable Elder. When the king was paying respect to the Venerable Elder, the elder blessed the king by saying, may the king be well and happy. And after the king had paid respect to the Venerable, the queen and her disciples and her followers came and paid respect. At the time also, the Venerable gave the same blessing. That is, may the king be well and happy. He did that for 7 consecutive days. And when they get back to Mahagama village, his disciples ask him, Venerable Sir, why did you give the same blessing to the king as well as the queen? What did I say? The Venerable asked. And the disciples answered, when the king came to pay respect to you, you bless him by saying, may the king be well and happy. And also, when the queen came to pay respect to you, you say the same thing. May the king be well and happy. Oh, is that so? Said the Venerable. Well, I didn't know who came to pay respect to me was either the king or the queen. Because I was invited by the king, I thought that it was the king who was coming to pay respect to me each time I was given homage. So after that, when the king heard about the Venerable being too weary or It's like being a burden to the Venerable for the 7 consecutive days. The king told his ministers to send the Venerable back to his own cave. Thus the Venerable went back to his own cave, and on reaching his own cave, he continued practicing his Vipassana meditation. While he was practicing thus, he experienced more about the Dhamma. That is, he experienced the nature of matter and the nature of mind. He experienced the arising and passing away phenomena, and he experienced the phenomena of dissolution, and he began to comprehend more about the impermanence, anicca, suffering, dukkha, and incontrollability, anatta. For that reason, he did not limit his time in his meditation. From the early night watch to midnight watch, from midnight watch to dawn watch, he continued practicing his meditation without stopping and without limiting his time of meditation. At dawn watch, he became an arahant or a fully liberated one by going through the 4 knowledges of the path and the 4 knowledges of fruition. Now, as it has been mentioned before, he is 80 years old and already had a seniority of 60 years as a monk. And he had been practicing all those 60 years as a monk, but he never became an arahant until now. That is, he became an arahant only on meditation after his return from the palace. Why? The reason is that while he was in the palace, he controlled his eye faculty. That is, he let his seeing stand only at mere seeing. In the palace, all the sights are very pleasant, like the sights of the king and his followers, and also the queen and her followers. All these sights are pleasant, and everybody would like to look at the pleasant sights. But for him, he had to control his eye faculty not to have the desire to look at those pleasant sights. So he has to be mindful. And as his mindfulness is very strong, his concentration becomes strong as well. With strong concentration, the Vipassana knowledge develops. And with Vipassana knowledge developing, he did not limit the time of his meditation. And his meditation was going very well. And as he can control his eye faculty and let his seeing stand just at mere seeing, he became an arhant at dawn watch. And this is the instance which shows that one can realize the noble Dhamma by controlling the eye faculty. Now we come to number two. In number two, it says that even though you may have a very keen sense of hearing, you shall have to act as if you cannot hear, or as if you are deaf. Does it mean to say that you have to keep your ears closed? No. It only means to say that your hearing shall stand just at mere hearing. If you don't, your concentration will deteriorate studying from your ear. Because if you will be following the sounds that you are hearing, oh, you may say, this is the sound of human beings talking, this is the sound of automobiles, this is the sound of the birds, and so on. Thus, your mind will wander. If your mind wanders, you cannot establish concentration. If you cannot establish concentration, the Vipassana insights cannot develop. If the Vipassana insights does not develop, you will not realize the knowledge of the path, knowledge of fruition, and the bliss of Nibbana that you have been aspiring for. Here also, to hear a sound very clearly, one needs four factors to be satisfied. What are these? These are number one, ear sensitivity. Number two, audible object. Number three, no obstacle between the object and the ear. And number four, paying attention. Among these four factors, even though one has the first three, and if one does not pay attention to the audible object or to the sound, and if one is only paying attention to the meditation, say for example, one is paying attention only to the practice while doing sitting meditation and just noting rising, falling, sitting, touching, and also in walking meditation, if one is just noting lifting, pushing forward and dropping, or stretching, flexing, sitting, standing, and so on. If you are paying attention only to your meditation, and if you are not paying attention to the sound or of the audible object, then your hearing will stand just at mere hearing, and as a result, your noting will go well, it will be continuous, and for those who had not realized the Dhamma will realize, and for those who had not yet had the progress will have the progress of insight, and even for those deserving, they can realize the noble Dhamma. Now we come to number three. Even though one may be very eloquent in speaking, that is, one may have the ability to speak very well, while doing the Vipassana meditation, one shall act as if one cannot speak That is, one shall act as if one is dumb or one is mute. Now, while practicing Vipassana meditation, if one does the talking, the one who talks will have his noting discontinuous. And the one who was also listening also will have his or her noting discontinuous. And also for those people in the surrounding, they will also have their noting discontinuous. Now, each time you do some talking, say you do about 5 minutes talking, about 15 minutes are wasted. Because before one talks, one has to think about what one is going to talk. Say that takes 5 minutes. And the talking itself takes 5 minutes. And after talking, one may reflect what one has talked about. And that will take about 5 minutes. Altogether, 15 minutes will be wasted. That is, the noting becomes discontinuous for at least 15 minutes. This is the disadvantage or obstacle to the Vipassana meditation. For example, if one yogi is about to have his or her progress in the meditation, if he heard or if she heard about the talking, and if she pay attention, if he or she pay attention to it, then he or she cannot have the progress of insights. Therefore, if you feel like talking, not only you can have discontinuity in your meditation, to those who listen to your talking will also have the discontinuity in their meditation. Therefore, when you feel like speaking, or when you have the intention to speak, note, intending to speak, or just intention. That is Vipassana meditation, because Vipassana means you note whatever appears. Therefore, if you have the intention to talk, just note intention. Then, if you decided not to talk, notes, not talking. That is, you are contemplating your own mind. That means, citta nupassana, or contemplation of consciousness in the consciousness. If you can do it that way, you can still get the Vipassana wholesome merits. Because if you want merits, you have to meditate Vipassana meditation. Now you are meditating Vipassana meditation, that is, you are doing the contemplation of consciousness in consciousness by noting your intention in your mind. Whatever you do, whether you contemplate the body in the body, or the mind, consciousness in the consciousness, or the feeling in the feeling, or Dhamma in the Dhamma, whichever one you are contemplating, you are accumulating wholesome merits. These wholesome merits will accompany you until the time you realize the Nibbana. That is why it can be said that even though one may be able to speak very eloquently, one shall act as if one cannot speak, or as if one is dumb or one is mute. Now we come to number four. Even though one is strong and healthy, one shall act as if one is weak and one is an invalid. Why? Because if you are going to do things quickly or swiftly in accord with your strength, then your bodily behavior will arise very quickly, and your noddy mind may not be able to catch up with it. That is, your noddy mind cannot focus right on each present moment of the many stages of your bodily behavior. If you cannot note right at the present of each stage, then Vipassana knowledge or Vipassana wisdom cannot be established, which means that you cannot realize the Noble Dhamma. Therefore, your bodily behavior must be very gentle, very slow, in order that your noddy mind can catch up with your bodily behavior and focus right on the present moments for each happening or for each sector of your bodily behavior. In the continuity of consciousness of this audience yogis, you have nothing but the nature of mind and the nature of matter. And the nature of mind and nature of matter exist only for a while, for a moment, right at present. After it has gone, and if you go on noting, you are going to note what was not there anymore. And it might even discourage you in your meditation, and you might feel very depressed. Therefore, you must do things slowly, so that your noddy mind can catch up with your bodily behavior. Now, if you do it slowly in your sitting, standing, stretching, bending, and so on, you will realize such things as heaviness, lightness, and so on. Lightness is due to the nature of the elements of heat and elements of air. Heaviness is due to the element of earth, nature of the element of earth, and the nature of the element of water. Therefore, do things slowly so that you can note right at the present moment. If you do it quickly, you cannot focus right at the present moment. This nature of matter and the nature of mind in your continuity of consciousness, as I have said before, exists only for a moment. You cannot miss it by a hair's breadth or just a split second. The split second means is the conventional way of seeing, but it may not be there in a time less than this split second. Now, when you can experience the stage by stage lightness, stage by stage heaviness, your concentration is built up and you begin to see the arising and passing away of the phenomena. You feel happy about it and you begin to realize that, oh, these are happenings inside my own body aggregates. You see arising and passing away. When you see arising and passing away, it means that you are on the right track of Vipassana. That's why it was said that even though you may be alive for 100 years, you are more noble if you know the arising and passing away and you live only for one day. Why? Because this Vipassana merits that you earn will accompany you until at least you become a sotapanna. Now these Vipassana arising and passing away can be seen only if one notes right at the present moment. So don't go back to the past. Don't plan ahead. Only stay at the present. The nature of matter and the nature of mind exists only for just a moment. As an example, if you look at the flame of an oil lamp or a candle, you will see a flame there. After 5 minutes, you can still see the flame. After 10 minutes, you can still see the flame, even though the candle becomes shorter and shorter. You may still think that you are seeing the same flame. No. Each flame arises and passes away. Another flame came into that place. And it goes on. The process goes on. It never is the same flame. There is always arisings and passings away. If you look at the stream flowing down from a mountain, you may see that by looking at the flowing water, you may see that you are seeing the same water all the time. No. The first portion flows away and the second portion flows in. And the second portion flows away and the third portion flows in like that. Because of the flow, you think that it is there all the time. It is not. Now, if I have to talk about the mundane affairs and supramundane affairs, it can be said that these two are diametrically opposite to each other. In the mundane business, if you know more, you have more advantage. That is, if you are far-sighted, If you look very widely, it will be advantageous for you in the mundane affairs. Similarly, if your sense of hearing is keen, it will be more useful to you. And similarly also, if you can speak eloquently, it may be better for you in your daily walk. And also, if you are strong and healthy, and if you do things quickly and swiftly, it may be of benefits to you. But that is only good for the mundane affairs. In the supramundane affairs, you will only if you do the opposite of these things, you will have the progress. You will experience the Dhamma, have progress of insights, and realize the noble Dhamma. Now you have listened to my talk on the 4-point advice given by the Venerable Elder Mahakisayana. Follow and practice accordingly, and may you be able to realize the noble Dhamma, all the suffering-free Nibbana that you have been aspiring for by practicing with ease and comprehending the Dhamma very quickly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.